Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
So as I was saying, it would seem that we're in something of a race against time with the Delta variant of the virus. Can we vaccinate enough people before the variant becomes dominant? Or should we increase restrictions again? Can we mix and match vaccines to speed up delivery? Should we halt plans to jab the under 40s until we get all the over 60s done? Difficult questions to which there are no clear answers as yet, but Dr. Gerald Barry, Assistant Professor of Virology at UCT, may have some of the most up-to-date thinking on some of these issues. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Hi, good morning.
First thing, big picture kind of question here. Some of the commentary, Gerald, seems to be saying, look, we've been here before, we're gradually letting our guard down, we're not paying proper attention to the threat that's gathering over the hills, and the result is going to be inevitable. Is that, in your opinion, fair comment or unnecessarily scary?
I mean, unfortunately, people tend to sit in two camps with a few people in the middle. Whenever you kind of see any kind of new variant coming over the hill, I suppose, there's an element of fear associated with it because it's something new and potentially more dangerous. But I think we have to recognise that we're in an era now that is different from, let's say, January, where we have, a lot of people, particularly a lot of vulnerable people, vaccinated. I think we have to be cautious in the sense that we're still learning about this new variant. But the data coming out so far, you know, suggests that particularly people with two shots of the vaccine get very good protection against the Delta variant and other variants that are circulating at the moment. So I think we always need to be cautious with any of these things and need to be aware that, you know, these variants can cause us problems, particularly for the unvaccinated and people with just one shot, of which there are many people in the country still in that situation. And so they're still very vulnerable, not just to the Delta variant, but to any version of this virus that they might pick up.
Okay, so should we pivot the vaccination program back in their direction to complete their jab sequence, or can we continue as we are going?
I would be very much of the opinion that we need to get two shots of vaccine into people as quickly as possible, and that really should have been
people over 60.
From the start. Very much so. I mean, there's, I think, somewhere in the region of 400,000 people that have only had one shot of AstraZeneca. A lot of those would be vulnerable people in their 60s. And I think they should be prioritized for a second shot of AstraZeneca as quickly as possible. Like, we know from trial data that even a four-week interval gives a really good response to the AstraZeneca vaccine. So I would be very much in favor of shortening the interval to, you know, 4 to 6 weeks and prioritizing those people that have only had one shot. Give them a second shot because it massively boosts their protection against variants and particularly the Delta variant.
And is it the time interval that might be causing this delay, or is there still a supply issue that would prevent those 400,000 from getting their second jab ASAP?
Well, I suppose I can't really answer that. I mean, it's only the people on the inside that know that, because the transparency around things like supply and availability is slightly lacking to the public eye. So I can't really answer exactly what the delay will be. Currently, the recommendation, I think, has been to shorten the interval to 8 weeks, which, you know, for somebody that got their first shot in May would push them into July sometime, I suppose. And currently, we know that the Delta variant with one shot of AstraZeneca, you know, you only get about 33% efficacy against that, or effectiveness against that. So, you know, people with one shot of vaccine are still very vulnerable to this Delta variant. And we're kind of on this tipping point now where potentially Delta variant is going to start causing problems in the country. It's still at very low numbers at the moment, and we seem to be keeping a close or tight control over it. But there is a worry that if it starts to pick up, it will cause us problems, because there's a lot of people not vaccinated fully. You know, one shot of vaccine, I compare it to, you know, it gives a certain amount of protection, but it's a bit like asking for a pint at a bar and somebody only giving you a quarter full pint of Guinness. It's okay, it might quench your thirst a little bit, but it's not going to satisfy you. And one shot of AstraZeneca against this Delta variant is kind of similar in that it's okay, it'll give you a little bit of protection, but it certainly doesn't give you full protection. So there should be a massive push to double vaccinate people, particularly in their 60s, that are vulnerable and can be really badly affected by this variant.
Mm. A texter on 51551 gets in ahead of me with my next question. They're saying the over 60s who've had their first AstraZeneca jab are exposed. We need to have the ability for a second Pfizer or Janssen jab. What is, because I know that the Immunisation Advisory Committee is some weeks away from making a decision on mixing and matching jabs. What is the latest scientific evidence on getting one AstraZeneca and one Pfizer, say?
Well, the evidence is very clear in that if you get a if you get one shot of AstraZeneca and then a second shot of Pfizer, the antibody response is really strong. So you get a really good response from that second shot being a Pfizer vaccine. So, and it gives you really good protection, probably even better than getting a second shot of AstraZeneca, actually. So the argument there would be definitely go with the second shot being Pfizer and push it as quickly as possible. The challenge, I suppose, is that there haven't been large-scale trials done on thousands of people the way you would like to see in terms of safety. You know, and we know already that trials have been done with two shots of AstraZeneca and trials have been done with two shots of Pfizer, and there's been millions of people now that have had those regimes, and they've proven to be, you know, very, very safe in general. So I suppose scientifically the data says go with a mixed regime because the response is brilliant and you get really good protection. The only challenge is we don't have huge numbers of people that have had that regime yet, and so we don't really have robust safety data in thousands of people. So that's the only hesitancy I would have. Now, the fact that people are getting two shots of AstraZeneca or two shots of Pfizer would suggest that a mixed equivalent would be very safe. And, you know, because they're very, very kind of similar in what you're getting. But I would just have a little bit of hesitancy, and I can understand NIAC's hesitancy around this, and they're probably waiting for more data to come through on the safety side rather than the efficacy side, because we know it's very likely to give a really good, robust response. So I actually would be just currently, at least, prioritising massively to shorten the interval and give people a second shot of AstraZeneca as quickly as possible.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding was from this research that came out from Public Health England yesterday that it really seemed to focus on the Pfizer and AstraZeneca vaccines and their effectiveness against the Delta variant. Do we know anything? Do the same numbers apply to Janssen and Moderna as well, do you know?
We just don't know that, unfortunately. Like a lot of these things, we're relying heavily on the UK to provide us data. And for the vast majority of people in the UK, they're getting AstraZeneca or Pfizer. And so we don't have data currently on the other vaccines. In terms of Moderna, that's a very similar technology to Pfizer. And the efficacy based on trials and stuff has been very similar. So you would assume Moderna would give a very similar response. The Janssen vaccine is unclear. It's a one-shot vaccine. It gives slightly better efficacy than the AstraZeneca vaccine. So it's likely to be as good as or slightly better than the AstraZeneca regime, but we don't have the data yet to say that for sure.
We've focused in our conversation so far on vaccinations, and you're saying, in response to most of my questions, we just don't have the data yet. We're just not close enough to an answer. In the absence of that data and scientific evidence, should we then be looking back to further social restrictions?
I think what we need to do is we almost need to treat the Delta variant as a separate thing altogether. So I think we know the data currently says that if you have a double shot of Pfizer or a double shot of AstraZeneca, that you have really good protection against hospitalization and death. So two shots of vaccine gives good protection. One shot of vaccine or no vaccine at all, you're limited in your protection against this variant. One shot of vaccine gives reasonably good protection against other variants like the B117, but it's still not super protective. We really should be pushing to get people double vaccinated again to protect against all these variants. So I would be very cautious at opening up society too much, for the simple reason that although it might seem that we're in a situation where we have lots of protection across the country, we actually don't. The number of people or the percentage of the population that have two shots of a vaccine is relatively low. You know, if you compare to what the UK are doing, for example, they have about 75% of the population with one shot of vaccine and over 50% of the population with two shots. And they're seeing a dramatic rise in cases with the Delta variant. And they're seeing an increase in hospitalizations now as well. And they've put a four-week delay on the increased opening of their society. So I think I would be very cautious about opening up, opening up at the beginning of July. But that has to be balanced with an economic argument
yes,
as well.
But Gerald, the increased freedoms that they were getting in England are almost a return to completely normal society. We're still significantly more restricted in Ireland than they are in the UK. I get from what you're saying, though, that you don't think that that's sufficient to the threat presented by the Delta variant.
Well, I think if the Delta variant comes into the country, considering the level of vaccination that we have in the country currently, we would see, if it took off the way it has taken off in the UK, and there's no reason to doubt it wouldn't because it's doing the same in America, for example, at the moment. If it took off and we coincide that with loosening restrictions in July, then you could have a scenario where case numbers would start to increase again. And that then would cause a real problem. Mm. Now, it may not necessarily convert into hospitalizations and deaths. They would likely be lower than, for example, the surge we saw in January. But even an increase in cases would almost psychologically damage the country, I think, to an extent again and kind of push us back. So I would, I suppose I'm kind of looking at it from the point of view of a few more weeks of currently the way we are would allow us to dramatically increase the number of people that have protection and allow us or give us much more protection then to open up in a safer way, maybe towards the end of July or into August.
You said if the Delta variant comes into Ireland, my very much layperson back of an envelope mathematics suggested to me that if we're only sequencing 30% of cases at the moment and we've identified 140 Delta variant cases, that you would it be fair to assume that the actual number at the moment in the Republic of Ireland is at least three times the official figure of 140?
No, I don't think that would be fair because we're doing targeted sequencing. So we're targeting our sequencing towards cases that are suspected to be the Delta variant at the moment. So there's an initial screening of all cases to try and divide them up into what's likely to be B117 and what's likely to be effectively everything else. And that percentage of everything else is less than 10% of our overall case number currently. And so a smaller percentage of that, again, would be the Delta variant. So I actually don't think it's a massive underestimation of what we have in the country currently. Now, there is a better test coming online that will rapidly increase our ability to test for the Delta variant. We'll go from a two-week testing regime to probably a two-day testing regime. So that will give us a broader picture of what's happening. But I actually don't think we're far off getting a pretty good number on what exactly we have in the country at the moment. And it's increasing every week, but it's increasing very slowly. And so from an optimistic point of view, it seems like we have relatively good control at the moment on the Delta variant. And hopefully it will remain like that. But I suppose over the next few weeks we'll find out as socialization has increased, as people mingling has increased. I just always kind of stress the idea of being a little bit cautious around this. But I do have to stress as well that people that are double vaccinated have excellent protection against this Delta variant, you know, up over 90% protection against hospitalization. So that's really fantastic protection when you're double vaccinated. The concern is if people only have one shot of vaccine or if they're not vaccinated at all. And we have to realistically say that there's a large percentage of the population that are in that situation.
One final question before I let you go about antigen testing, please, Dr. Barry. There's further evidence just been produced as to their reliability, still nowhere near that of the PCR, but still, you know, increasingly accurate. Are we missing a trick by not employing them?
Well, I suppose the first thing I would say is that the report that came out today or late last night from the HSE, that data was produced back in February of this year. So I would say it's disappointing that it's only just come out now because that data has been available since February. And what it shows basically is that people with a a high load of virus. In other words, the people that are most likely to infect or shed large amounts of virus, antigen testing carried out by the person, so in other words, the person swabbing themselves and then tested by a trained person, the antigen test will pick up 8 out of 10 people. So it'll miss 2 out of 10, but it'll pick up 8 out of 10. So I compared, if you have two restaurants, and both those restaurants have good ventilation, mask wearing, social distancing, all the exact same mitigations, which is kind of what we're proposing for the beginning of July. But you add into that screening of everyone going into the restaurant with an antigen test, you're going to pick up 8 out of 10 people going into that restaurant that are highly infectious, and you're going to stop them going in. Okay, you'll miss 2 out of 10, but you hope that the other mitigations will account for that, or at least reduce the risk. In the other restaurant beside it that isn't doing antigen testing, you're going to miss 10 out of 10 people. And you're going to allow 10 out of 10 that are highly infectious go into that restaurant. And in the hope that washing their hands and having ventilation and keeping 1 meter distancing will protect people. So I would look at it and say antigen testing is good and it reduces risk in any environment that you introduce it into.
You seem to be going further than that. I read from what you're saying that it's a bit of a no-brainer.
In my opinion, it's an absolute no-brainer, and I can't stress it enough, I can't understand why we're not looking at this, explaining it to people, teaching them how to use it, and rolling it out on a mass basis, because yes, it will miss cases, but it will pick up cases that we're not currently picking up by not using the tests.
Dr. Gerald Barry, thank you very much for your time and expertise this morning. Very much appreciated. Division in the Cabinet over how to respond to MiCA. Daniel McConnell from the Irish Examiner is going to be here next to take a look at that Cabinet meeting ahead of it later on this morning.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.